Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, May 5th, 2022. Today we are reading from the big book. We're in the chapter one, Bill's story, on paragraph four, which begins with 22 and a veteran of foreign wars and ends with I would manage with the utmost assurance. The readers today are in support for this meeting for this month, the 12 steps, Deb E, traditions, Linda B, the text today, Lois P, Robin P, Jody E, newcomer greeter and sponsor information name getter, Leah S, and announcements today will be Leslie W. Welcome and thank you. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting would be 18923, 18,923. That would be Wednesday, May 4th, 2022. And then this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, share ID number is 18925, 18,925. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Deb E. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Yes, good morning. This is Deb E. in Montana, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And I will pass.
Thank you very much, Deb E. from Montana. I will now ask Linda B. from Canada to please read the 12 traditions of overeaters.
Thank you, Melanie. Good morning, fellows. My name is Linda B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Ontario, Canada. Here are the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you, and with that I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Linda B. from Canada, for reading those for me today. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 in order to have a quiet meeting and a quiet recording. Everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. And take note, please, this is a star 1 key function only. Thank you. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter 1, Bill's Story, on paragraph 4. And it begins with 22 and a veteran of foreign wars and ends with, I would manage with the utmost assurance. And I would like to ask Lois P. to read that particular paragraph for us today and share on her understanding of the directions, and then we'll open up for the general audience here to be able to share on it as well. Hi, Lois.
Hi, good morning. Good morning, Melanie. Thank you. This is Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. 22 and a veteran of foreign wars, I went home at last. I fancied myself a leader, for had not the men of my battery given me a special token of appreciation? My talent for leadership, I imagined, would place me at the head of vast enterprises, which I would manage with the utmost assurance. This youthful exuberance, this feeling that I had the whole world ahead of me, that nothing would stop me, was part of this syndrome that later became this debilitating allergy, this debilitating way of life when it came to my dealing with my feelings and with food. And I really identify with Bill because in my earlier years, I felt, you know, nothing could stop me. Okay, I had a weight issue. Okay, you know, it was not a problem because as Bill felt this sense of camaraderie and community that he had been part of something important, how many times have I felt or have we felt that we wanted and needed that feeling a part of something, part of the group, the family, the social event, you know, the team, the club. That sense of belonging actually led me to feel that eating and even overeating was okay. It was just part of living my life. As Bill was starting to feel, you know, here he was young and exuberant, He had been a leader. He felt that his, you know, he was full of himself. This is the building of the ego in my life as well that had to be shattered in order for me to have a real transition into this beautiful life that came as a result of giving up this sense of leadership, talent, importance, giving up the sense that I needed to belong and that I'd find my identity, you know, by sitting and eating with others and feeling a part of. That had to be shattered in order for this individual sense of union that comes only when that ego is broken. And that sense of unity that can come with this beautiful relationship with God that forms after these initial young ideas of I can do this, I can conquer this, you know, I'm gonna master this food obsession, it's not a big deal, I can do so many other things, you know, and that just wasn't the truth for Bill. He had no idea what was coming, as nor did I. And this sense of needing to be part of kept me eating. And when I didn't feel part of, that kept me eating. So this whole feeling that he's having is sad because I've lived it. And I know the pain and suffering that's ahead for him. And I know what happened to me. And thank you, God, the suffering reached a point where, you know, there was a major change and a transition. But this is the beginning. Thank you. Thank you, Melanie. This is the beginning of the process of a whole new life for Bill. So thank you. With that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Lois P. from New York, for getting us started today by reading that paragraph in the share. The lines are now open for additional comments on paragraph 4, page 1 of Bill's story, chapter 1. It begins with 22 and a veteran of foreign wars. It'll be that paragraph there we're going to unpack today. If you'd give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, and your state, I could take a line up here, but I wanted to also say we value everyone's experience, and we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might be able to share their experience as well. So if you haven't shared since Monday, then today might be your day. I'm ready to take a line up.
Janice K.
Linda B.
Okay. Linda B.
Leah S.
Pamela E.
Leah S. And did I hear Pamela? Is that what it was? Pamela S?
Correct. Pamela E.
Okay. Oh, Pamela E. Mm-hmm. Hearing the silence, I'm going to take it. That's our first lineup here. So we're going to go with Janice K., Linda B., Leah S., and Pamela E. Janice K., you're first for 3 minutes, followed by Linda.
Okay. Thank you so much. This is Janice K. Mm-hmm. in Oregon. Boy, there appears to be a lot in this paragraph. I fancied myself a leader, for had not the men of my battery given me a special token of appreciation? I suspect I spent a lot of years in a really basic position. And one of the things I found being in that position was in order to get a token of appreciation, all you have to do is be average. As a matter of fact, I had a lot of leaders, managers, who were not particularly good, but made good friends on the sales floor, and they left with the same token of appreciation as the really, really excellent people. So I look at this paragraph, and I see the grandiosity of the addict, which was a positive grandiosity for Bill, and I claimed the negatives. I claimed every superlative he has, but mine were all of a negative variety. Someone once told me there's as much conceit in being the worst as there is in being the best. There's the false confidence of addiction. There's the beginning of the fantasy My talent for leadership would place me at the head of vast enterprises, which I would manage with utmost assurance. Beginning of fantasy. And the statement of early addiction. There's the false confidence of the early addiction. Oh, as long as I have X or Y, I'll be fine. And very telling paragraph. When you look behind the words, there's a lot there. Okay, thank you for listening, I pass.
Thank you, Janice K. from Oregon. Linda B., you're up next, please, for 3 minutes, and then Leah, you'll come in after.
Hi, I'm Linda B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Ontario, Canada. When I read this paragraph, I think, oh, boy, I think I am getting better, because I would have read that a while ago and not even seen ego in that. I would have just seen a very self-confident, knowledgeable young man, and, wow, I wish I could have been more like him. But reading that this morning, and I see the, you know, I fancied myself. I imagined myself, you know, a token of appreciation and utmost assurance. And I would have thought, boy, I would really like to be that kind of human being. And because I never really felt of myself that way, I felt of myself as very much a failure and full of self-pity and self-condemnation. And it's just almost the two extremes of that self, that ego, the lesser than and the greater than. There's no middle of the road. And one of the gifts for me of working this program is learning all about humility. And, you know, we're all just, you know, we're all just human beings. We aren't God. We aren't, you know, we're just human beings doing the best we can one day at a time, with the relying on the God of our understanding. And that humility, I never thought of it as being a gift, but it truly, truly is. And I'm so grateful that I've been able to put the food down and work these steps and learn and grow, because I was just so full of self, but it wasn't, you know, self-esteem. It was, like I said, self-pity and self-loathing. But then there were times when I would go to the extreme. I have to be honest, there would be times if I had gotten approval for someone or recognition for someone, I could go to the extreme opposite and then just come crashing down after I ate to celebrate my recognition. So it's just, you know, we're so complicated. We really, really are complicated, and as human beings. But when I can turn everything over to the God of my understanding and practice humility every day of my life and to be of service, life is good, and I am ever so grateful. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Linda B. from Canada. Leah S. from New York, you're up for 3 minutes, and then Pamela. But I wanted to let other folks know, too, that in 6 minutes, we're going to open up the lines for additional comments on paragraph 4, page 1 of Bill's story. Hi, Leah.
Hi. Hi, Melanie. Good morning, everyone. My name is Leah S., and I'm recovered and so grateful in Brooklyn, New York. So this paragraph is such a pack-filled paragraph, but it has a lot to do with the tombstone that is written there. You know, instead of congratulating the soldier was probably a very, very good soldier, all they're saying is that he died because he drank. My God. And, you know, me too. I came into these rooms. I just wanted to lose my weight and get my vanity back. And I had to forget about sanity. You know, what do you know about sanity? I know everything about what I would like to do and what I want to be and who I want to be. I had that grandiosity. And for me to have humility, it was like devastating for me, because I was always being criticized. I was always the victim. So So what do these steps have to do with my losing weight? What is this all about? And it's exactly what this tombstone is. This is what Leah is. I am starting my journal here in these rooms. I am starting to write who is Leah when I start to give up that food and when I start to live life and face facts. And God, you know, not easing God out and not trying to ignore what the fact of my life is, except just trying to work along with it. That's what these steps are about, so that I don't have that terrible craving anymore, so that I do know how to get along with people, so that I do the best, not leadership, but the best Leah that I can be. And that is all that God wants from me, because I feel it. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you very much. Leah S. from New York. Next up is Pamela E. Before we open up the lines for additional comments, Pamela E., you have 3 minutes. It starts right now. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning. Pamela E. here in California. Okay, there I'm off a speakerphone. Pamela E. in California. I have that thing. Yeah, like Bill. It's like, whoa, it started when I was probably in utero. I didn't even have to wait till I was born. Came out and already there was competition in my household. I was the fifth of six kids. And growing up, it's like, whoa, Mama, don't you see me? Mama loves so-and-so more. I went over the top trying to get Mama to love me. The truth is Mama loved me. And here I am as an adult vying for, you know, a management role. It's like under sick leadership. So I got the management role. Guess what? I was still sick. I couldn't see how sick I was because I was so busy looking at other people. It was during the time of the Obama administration and me being, you know, of African-American descent. I'm still trying to prove myself, my color right here in the organization. I didn't even need to do that, you know? I didn't even need to do that. And today I get to look at myself. I get to do the work. I get to breathe and know that I am only human. And I'm just another human being on equal plateau, no higher, no greater. But when I get those delusions and when I need more love from other people, it does make a girl hungry. It makes this girl very hungry. I'm still not in abstinence yet, working it. Just glad to be on the line with you all. Today is a new day. Yeah. Just feeling enough and knowing that the food is not going to make a difference and people are not going to make a difference. But I get to accept people and life on life's term and set aside everything, have God set aside everything that I think I know about other people, places, things, abstinence, recovery, and especially me. Okay, well, thanks for letting me share. Happy to hear some more from you all. Thanks, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Pamela E. from California. Okay, the lines are now open for those that haven't shared in the last 3 days because we value everybody's experience and their voice here. If you'd like to give me your first name, the first letter of your last name, and your state, I can take another lineup.
Larry G. from California.
Larry G., CA.
Connie K.
Okay, it's kind of breaking up, Sarita. I think, a little bit there, so it might be me. Sarita L., hi, good morning. Hi.
Katie V.,
is that what I heard?
Yep.
Okay, California. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ann R. from California.
Hi, Ann R., we got you down here just in the nick of time. Okay, we're going to move. Lining up, who's going to be reading next? Larry G., California, Connie K., California, Street L., Canada, Katie B., California, Ann R., California. Kind of fun. Larry G., you're up for 3, and then Connie K. will follow you.
Good morning, Melanie. Larry G. from California. Good morning, family. Well, this here little paragraph really tells a lot about Bill, tells about his arrogance and grandiosity. And I remember reading about the late, great Dr. Harry Thiebaud, who contributed to Alcoholics Anonymous movement, who described arrogance and defiance as the sword, the twin blade that shreds us. It just cuts us to shreds. And man, I was rank with arrogance and defiance. And you know, there's the great antidote to arrogance and defiance is to be beaten into submission. And I was beaten into submission on May 17, 2020, when I came into a vision for you. This is the last house in the street for me, really. I mean, I've said that before, but this is it. If I don't make it here, you might as well just put me in a room with $500 worth of booze, and I could just drink myself into oblivion. You know, we talked about yesterday heeding the warning signs, and I don't know about you, but as an addict, recovered, compulsive eater, I was powerless over heeding the warning signs. There was plenty of warning signs throughout, you know, my lifetime when it was regard to compulsive eating, but I was powerless over paying attention. In fact, there's a saying in 12-step program, you can't scare a drunk straight, right? And those warning signs were clear and evident of a pending doom, but I did not heed them. But today, as a recovered compulsive eater, I can pay attention to those warning signs, and some of them is arrogance and defiance. I still can be arrogant and defiant. you know, humility is the middle road. But for me, I have to pay attention to overconfidence. For example, am I being overconfident in my program? Am I not doing the things that have helped me to be recovered? Am I taking a little bit too extra food here, or not going too long in between a 10-step? Or truly showing up and being truthful to my sponsor. I showed this week, and my sponsor, really showed me how I needed to do something different that I thought was a good plan. I thought, you know, that I was doing the right thing, but, you know, the arrogant part of me, the bristles in the back of my neck will stand up when someone doesn't buy into my story, right? Well, my sponsor is kind, gentle, loving, but, you know, she's also a person of great truth and wisdom. And I listened, you know, and it really turned out much better than the way Larry was doing it. So today I can pay attention to warning signs, and that I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Larry G. from California. Next up is Connie K. from California, followed by Sarit L. after 3 minutes. Hi, Connie.
Hi, Melanie. Thank you so much. I didn't know that you got my name. I didn't hear that, but thank you so much, Connie K., California. This paragraph, let's see. This is my third day of abstinence, and looking for a sponsor. My other one, I guess she went out. Ominous warning. Yeah, for me, I wasn't like this person either. I was opposite to him. I was hated myself. I was hiding. I didn't want you to see what a loser I felt like I was. I did things like in high school that I thought would get me accolades, you know, because my other siblings, one of them was homecoming queen, right? and straight A's and boyfriends galore and American Field Service and all this stuff. And I thought, oh, for sure, oh good, I can't wait to be the homecoming queen, you know, and that didn't happen. And my self-esteem just plummeted with every, I just never added up. So I would not take courses I knew I couldn't do. And I got good grades in the other ones. But so I was able to put myself to become an honor student because I left those other courses out. I was so desperate to be as good as or part of or, you know, something like that. And so that was the opposite of what I think Bill was doing here. Let's see, talent for leadership, head of vast enterprises. I kind of wish I had those visions, you know, but I did not. It was the opposite, and the shares today are really good, really helpful to me. about the, you know, conceit in being the worst and that kind of thing. Like, you know, if I can't be the best, then I'm going to be the worst. And then I'll die behind it and I'll show you, you know. And I'm the fifth of seven kids. And me too, I have a similar syndrome, not to crosstalk at all, but a syndrome of, I didn't get enough of this and you got more of that and he took more of that and mom, you know, and tantrums and just going crazy. And it's, I have compassion for me, but I also know I was pretty wild, feral child in a lot of ways. And so that's what I got to look at is my own makeup. You know, I can't blame my mom or dad or brothers or sisters at this point. I got to look at me. And let's see. Yeah, I just think he's at the age. Okay. Thanks for letting me share a path.
Thank you, Connie K. from California. Next up is Sarit L. from Canada, followed by Katie V. from California. Hi, Sarit.
Hi, Melanie. It's Sarit L. Mm. So I'm between all the Californians. But I'm CA also from Canada, so happy to be here on the line. And I think what stands out here in the sentence is just going to gather my thoughts here is that we see the words leadership, we see the words head of, that's all, you know, he fancied himself a leader. It was in his imagination, but it was his goal in life to become that leader that he imagined himself to be. And I've dreamed for that. How many of us dream for that approval, validation? I wanted my teacher to notice me. I wanted her to notice my new shoes. I remember, you know, an incident in third or fourth grade till today. You know, my teacher didn't notice my shoes. And so this is like the feelings of less than that I've grown up with. And I've always tried to stuff with food, to comfort myself with food. And, you know, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work. So, you know, the same thing as Bill, fancying himself a leader. I still have that ego that has to be smashed. And what these 12 steps do is that they smash them. They smash them. First, I'm discovering it. And now, you know, working my 10 steps every single day, it's amazing and eye-opening for me to see that in every single 10 step, there's myself and my ego. It's the underlying thread in each one. You know, somebody put me on hold yesterday, I was resentful. That's ego. You know, this woman in program having called me and thought of me for a year, that's ego. You know, wanting what I want, that people think of me, love me, call me, acknowledge me, text me, it's all my ego and my pride that God shows me, you know, throughout the day as I work my steps. It has to go. It has to go because it's not serving me. It creates tension. It creates control. It creates collision and fear. And so my ego has got to go. And so thank God these steps, you know, as I pray to God in step 6 and 7, that he take them away because I'm willing now. So then my action has to become a contrary action to what I'm, you know, typically going to run towards. Instead of me, you know, pushing my way into things, demanding attention, I now have to take a step back and say the opposite, think the opposite, and act the opposite, so that now I can go be of loving kindness and service to someone else and humbly be compassionate towards the other person that needs me to be of service to them, you know, not collide with them, not demand from them, but be understanding, loving towards them. So this program is really beautiful and changing and transformative, and glad to be here with all of you. Thanks, Melanie.
Thank you. Sarit L. from Canada. Next up, Katie V. from California, followed by Ann R. And we might have an opportunity for a couple more people to share after Ann R. So in 6 minutes, get ready. But for now, we'll listen to Katie V's experience with paragraph 4, page 1, for 3 minutes. Hi, Katie.
Hi, good morning. I love this paragraph because, you know, 22 and a veteran of foreign wars, can't relate exactly to the foreign war, but when I was 20 years old, I was 350 pounds from this disease. And by the time I was 22, I was 150 pounds and still not happy, but feeling like I had just won a war, you know, won the war with myself. I had dieted down and lost 200 pounds through anorexia and bulimia and overexercise. And I thought I had made it. Finally, I had finally arrived after growing up eating my face off my entire life, you know, gaining 40, 50 pounds every single year, you know, being bigger than all the other kids, being bullied, you know, my mom telling me I need to lose weight and giving me a personal trainer and telling me to count calories and not being able to stop binging every single day. I had made it finally, you know, a size four. I had won and I was going to show everyone that I was important. You know, I was my talent for leadership, right? Like there was nothing I thought I couldn't do. And the one thing I couldn't do was still stop binging. You know, it, back then it was a $300 a week habit that when by the time I was 24 turned into a $300 a day habit when I came crawling into these rooms. And I couldn't do it anymore. You know, I couldn't live life fighting the food because I really thought all that time, you know, that I was going to figure it out. I was going to beat the game and I was going to magically put this puzzle together that told me why I do what I do. And when I got to this program, I threw the puzzle away because I finally understood, you know, it doesn't matter why. When I went through the doctor's opinion with a sponsor who really knew her stuff, she showed me this is a disease. This isn't a problem of mental control. This isn't me not wanting it. This isn't anything that I'm doing. I have a disease that centers in my mind, a disease that tells me I don't have a disease, right? And my only solution is the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous and working this book like my life depends on it, being willing to go to any lengths, you know, and this program, like everyone said, you know, it's all about ego reduction. I have to be able to be humble, to be willing to be humble. And that was a big thing for me when I got here because still, you know, I imagine my talent for leadership would place me at vast enterprises, right? And I still get like that. I still think, oh, I'm the best or I'm the worst, you know, after being here abstinent, you know, gratefully abstinent for almost 2 years, you know, it's still an everyday issue. Thank you. Because I'm human. I'm never going to stop being human, but luckily I have these steps. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Katie V. from California. Next up, before we open up the lines for another one or two to share, is Ann R. from California. Take a peek at paragraph 4, page 1, Bill's story. That's what we're studying today. Hey, Ann, you're up next.
Hey guys, good morning. Anna from California here, compulsive overeater. I am getting some ahas this morning with all the shares. Thank you, everyone. You know that word, leadership, it started real young for me, and I was in a position to feel like a leader when I was just a little tiny babe, and I couldn't cope with it. So I found the chemistry of sugar, flour and fat in the form of a round thing and changed how I felt and moved forward. I want to address the last sentence of there. I imagine would place me at the head of a vast enterprise which I would manage with the utmost assurance. Step one tells me that my life has become unmanageable. I don't care what I'm doing, and I'm thinking that I'm managing it. When I get to the realization that it's unmanageable, I have hope. I have hope right there. I keep coming back. I'm grateful that this is a morning meeting for me at 7 o'clock in the morning here in California to get on with you because it's part of my morning meditation and prayer when I have the courage to listen and be a part of. I'm a longtime member in another 12-step group, and I can literally sit within those meetings, even be of service, like in a secretary position or something, and be using. I can be using while I'm in the meeting. and I know you know what I'm talking about. You know, struggling and surrendering and accepting that step one is where I'm at. I keep coming back no matter what. I don't give up. I'm very heartbroken, and I have used my relationship to consumption. I don't even want to call it food anymore. Consumption as a way to cope, as a way to hide. I'm 5'2", 200 pounds, continually relapsing, and with visions, I've actually managed to experience up to 45 days of abstinence. I have had that experience, and the neutrality that came was something I had never felt in my entire life, and it scared me so bad. Now, that's not an excuse. That's just an awareness. So I'm here with you, still on step one, still listening, still teachable. Call me if you'd like. Text me if you'd like. I love my fellows because you speak the language of the heart here when it comes to my relationship with food, and I cannot find that kind of recovery anywhere else. And I love you guys for it, so thank you for loving me as I continue to surrender. And with that, I'll pass.
Can't hear you, Melanie.
Deanna.
Melanie? Are you there, Melanie C?
Melanie, we can't hear you.
Florida.
Can't hear you.
Melanie, I'm not sure if you're on, but I'll go right on and share it. Isn't that what you should
Okay, have? This is Leslie. I'm just going to take over for Mel. I think she got dropped from the call, and I just got dropped from the call as well. But I am here, and we need two more names. Who else would like to
Yana. Share? Noelle E.
Okay, here's who I heard. I heard Dion and Noelle. So, Dion, can you go first, please, followed by Noelle. Thank you.
Okay, yes, Leslie, thank you so much for stepping up. And good morning, everyone. My name is Dion R., very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater, even when I was 22 years old. I'm so sorry. I forgot groceries were coming. I didn't think they were coming. So. But anywho, let them in. And I just want to say, yeah, 22, I had an ego. 68, I got an ego. But this program of recovery is what reduces it for me. And I am so, so grateful, you know. And I was a legend. I identify with all you beautiful mothers, fathers, whoever shared today is that, yes, I was one of those too, you know. And I was a legend in my own mind. Thought I was a leader. No. But whatever I thought I was, leader, beyond, above or below. The program of recovery gave me me. And with that, I'll pass, and let me get my Amazon, and you have a blessed day. Happy Mother's Day to everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Dion. Can you all hear me now?
Yes.
Yes, you can be heard.
Great, thank you. Thanks a million, Leslie, for taking over. That's what team is all about here. We have each other's back. And I know that we missed Cherry KB. I apologize for that. There was a little bit of a mix-up. And so we do have Noelle E. For this week. And Cherry KB, you come tomorrow, please, and we'll get you. Hi, Noelle, 3 minutes.
Hi, this is Noelle E. Thank you, everybody, for your service on this line. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Louisiana. And the part of this paragraph that stands out to me is 22. I was 22 when I had some trauma happen to me, and I have been working tirelessly since then to put it down, to shove it down, to not pay attention to it. And when I came into recovery and didn't have my food to cope, it came violently out of me and hurt everyone in my life. And I I'm coming up on the 1 year anniversary of that experience. And when I think about it, I am, you know, I can dip into fantasy of what if it never happened. But then I think about now and how I have, the shame has been washing away and the guilt has been washing away, and I know who I am, and I can understand more about, you know, my disease. On, because I believe I'm a compulsive overeater because I'm a compulsive overeater. I have many stuff from early in childhood that is evidence of that. But I know it kicked into high gear when I was 22. And guess what? I was still a child. I was a child at 22. Unprotected by the adults in my life and pretending that I was, you know, a leader, pretending that I could just put it away and go on to what was next, graduate college and start to check off the list of things that would give me love and attention from places I was desperate for it. So, and today God shows me every day that I'm a child of God. That's the truth. I'm still a child. I am my loving higher powers. No one else's. And,
that would be time.
I'm free from the bondage of self. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much. And it looks like we might have about a minute and a half. Sherry KB, do you want to take that minute and a half? I might have caught you off guard. Sherry KB, it's about 90 seconds or so left. Would you like to take that or save that for another day? If not, someone else could grab that up.
Wendy,
I think
that
we just spent
California.
It by visiting. Okay, Wendy, it looks like you have about 1 minute now. You want to take that or
yes.
Save it for another day for three?
I'll take my 1 minute. Thank you so much.
Okay,
great. As we were reading through Bill's story, I was reflecting on my life and, you know, how he wanted the applause and how he had a huge ego. I don't know why. I also daydreamed about being in different countries, studying with the Dalai Lama. I mean, just all sorts of ideas. Almost, you know, I'll walk on water like Jesus. I just always had these great ideas. And I just ended up in bed binging. Nothing, you know, a lot more transpired in his life that transpired in mine. But what I really remember is always thinking that if I change the outsides, my environment, who I'm around, this situation, my parents, my husband, my ex, you know, be married, don't be married, work, don't work, I could somehow gain some control over this disease. So it was always, this disease in my mind was always outside of me. Never, ever did I think that this disease lived inside of me.
That's telling.
Don't care what kind of, thank you so much.
That was fast, wasn't it? Okay, thank you so much, Wendy, for your share this morning, and that then ends the sharing recorded portion of our meeting today, but we do have a good full 10 minutes left, a great meeting coming up here, so don't go away. You want to get those newcomer names and the sponsor contact information and then listen for those announcements here at the end of the meeting. Thank you so much for your shares today. I'm so grateful that you think like I think, that you feel like I feel, most importantly, and you eat like I eat. I am so grateful to have a place to call home in that sense. Appreciate you all for the month of Thursday. As we transition into our last bit of our recorded meeting, I would like to ask Robin P. to please read page 164 to close us out today, as we always do, and then join me in the Serenity Prayer as we move on to the last bit. Hey, Robin, good morning to you. We are ready for you. A quick star one, please.
Robin, you may have gotten muted. Can you star one?
Oh, sorry, I was talking
there
to myself.
There you go.
There you go. Thanks. I am Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then, amen.